Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to this Saturday edition of TC Live as we wrap up a big day at the ATP Finals in Turin. The final is set, and it's going to be epic. Here's what's coming up over the next half hour. It's number one versus number two for a spot in the championship. After playing four straight finals, Jannik Sinner, Daniil Medvedev meet for a spot in the other one. So much hype surrounding the fifth meeting between Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz. Just a masterclass from the number one. And meet the Aussies. We know Nick Kyrgios' box office, but we look back on some of his Hollywood encounters on the court. You don't want to miss that. Let's go. Come on into the studio. Live in Santa Monica, California, Steve Weissman, the Hall of Famer Jim Courier, Aussie superstar Nick Kyrgios. We got the other Hall of Famer, Andy Roddick, over on the big screen. And the final is set in Turin. It is going to be world number one Novak Djokovic taking on the first Italian to make the final at the ATP Finals, Jannik Sinner. There it is. It's right here live on Tennis Channel, 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Erotic, that performance from Novak Djokovic was something special. He said earlier this year they want to get a scalp. It ain't happening still. Sinner did earlier this week, but Alcaraz could not today.
Yeah, listen, Steve, if someone would have been offering odds that Alcaraz serves 86% and wins less than six games, someone would own my house right now. I'll tell you that much. And listen, Novak, just start to finish, was just so clean. He's so good at weathering the storm. Alcaraz comes out and basically plays perfect, right, through the first six or seven games. Novak just finds a way to get through service games, just finds a way to get through, needs one opportunity. Like Nick said on air, 5 minutes later, the match is turned. It's a downhill snowball, and it's tough to fight that one back.
I love what you said, Nick, during the broadcast. There was after that point in the second set, that made me realize I had no chance to win Wimbledon. What did you think of that performance?
Well, at that particular point, I think me and Jim thought the point was over about four times, and he kept coming back and back. And I think that's, if you had to watch one point to define his career, that was it. You know, he's managed to be so good for so long, and he keeps getting better. And I just couldn't believe the level. He was playing within himself the whole time. Didn't feel like he was redlining or anything, but he felt like Alcaraz was pushing the boundaries a bit too much. He came out flawless, and then he couldn't find any answers, and that's what Novak does to you.
Yeah, this kind of encapsulates Novak's career in some ways. He's underappreciated for his greatness, and it's hard to sort of spot it sometimes because you get dazzled by some of the shots that Alcaraz is making in his forays to the net. But then you see Novak at the end walks away 6-3, 6-2, and he just strangled him to death with incredible defense, consistent offense, and understanding the game. He's in the right place at the right time almost every time. It's amazing to watch.
Just doing goat things. And by the way, you bring up the point that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder heading into tomorrow. A
couple chips.
The crowd will be against him, and he just lost to Sinner. That's danger time for Jannik.
That's a flame underneath Novak. Better beware.
That is right. Here's how it all went down today. First semifinal, Jannik Sinner coming in a perfect 3-0, looking for his third straight win. Nandy against Daniil Medvedev started strong for the Italian.
Yeah, Sinner has just been smothering people at the start of these matches, and I don't know how you actually get that flat of a back and to actually let gravity take hold and actually land it. That was unbelievable from Sinner, just moving in and out of the corners. When he starts throwing in these nuanced shots, like a soft lob where he makes mannequins, it's a different level than we've seen before, but we know anything about Medvedev. He is going to find a way to make his presence felt in a match. He may not always be playing the best tennis shot for shot, but no situational tennis, knows how to ask the question over and over, and knows how to get into it with the crowd, which he did in the third set, maybe to his own detriment, but I love it. I am here for it. I love the showmanship. I love the emotion. Listen, you're just a human out there against 15,000 people. You got to show something. We're not all cyborgs like some people. But Sinner using the crowd perfectly. The home crowd can go one of two ways. Either it makes you a little tighter or you can feed off the momentum. And that was the weakest racket throw I've ever seen. No one respects Medvedev more than I do. Before I saw that racket throw, that was suspect at best. Not his best performance, Kyrgios, there. You would have done much better taking out a piece of wall or something. But Sinner just kept his head down, kept playing, didn't get broken against Medvedev. That is a tough ask, especially on a surface like this, where Medvedev can get that ball down and through the court. Sinner, chicken dinner, Steve.
Oh, heck yeah. Won 83% of his first serves, saved both break points he faced, converted three. How about this? His 10th straight win overall, that ties the longest streak in his career. 8th in a row, Jim, against the top 10, 6th straight against the top 5.
And 3 straight against Medvedev. This guy is on a roll, and we have to remember, he could have lost to Runa and let Djokovic be gone, not have to deal with him in the final potentially. That last round robin match, he had the back problems. He's in a third set, but he gutted it out, and now he's going to have to grind it out against Novak in the final, but what bigger statement can you make? We've talked about it a little bit, Nick. If you beat Novak twice, you did it in Acapulco and Indian Wells within about 10 days or so. If you can do that, I mean, that's not just a message to Novak. That's a message to everybody in the locker room.
Yeah, definitely. If he manages to do this, it's probably one of the biggest accomplishments I think anyone's done the last 5 years in the tennis world, definitely. But I think he believes he can do it, and he's got a great team around him. I think they're going to try and tell him that you're going to have to do it from the ground up again. You know, you can't just roll off what happened. It's going to be a completely different match. Novak coming off that win, beating Alcaraz 6-3, 6-2. It's going to be a good one.
He's got 4.8 million reasons to try and beat Djokovic in that
is
final.
That right?
Undefeated champion gets nearly $5 million.
Too
also
shabby.
Gets a little FaceTime with Prakash like he did after this win.
How about that?
You're now the first Italian ever to make the finals of this event. What are you doing to be able to stay in the moment so well this week?
I think just, you know, it is a huge privilege to have this kind of pressure to play in Italy. It's such an incredible event, and it's also end of the year. Players are a little bit more tired, and the people, they just give me positive energy, and I try to connect with the people well, and then it's obviously it means a lot to me being in the final.
That's going to be really special for young Jannik Sinner playing in front of the home crowd looking for his first year-end championship, Andy. On the other side, Daniil Medvedev said if Sinner plays like this, he believes Sinner will be number one in the world, going to win multiple slams. But this is a guy, Medvedev, 66 wins this year, 5 titles, including Rome, 9 finals, won 19 matches in a row at one point in February and March. How would you characterize his season?
Yeah, he had a great season. I think Medvedev is one of the more underappreciated guys on tour still. He does this every year. This isn't like it's an outlier year where he wins 5 times, wins a Masters 1000, plays in a Grand Slam final, contends for the biggest events, wins a Masters Series on Rome on clay. He hates that surface, makes the semis of Wimbledon not a comfortable surface for him. Finals in Indian Wells that he disliked. Like, the guy is just tough. And he is so, so good at tennis. Listen, every time we have one of those polls where it's like, who has the best backhand in the world? And he never gets mentioned. And it's absurd because he is so good week in and week out. He's one of the most reliable players on tour, especially without the weaponry that's obvious, like an Alcaraz or like a Sinner, where you just go, oh my gosh, wow, he is so smart with what he has. He squeezes every bit of juice out of what he has. And I just have so much respect for Daniil Medvedev. Sinner just played too well today.
Did not add to his major total this year, but had a major amount of victories throughout the season. Mentioned he almost won 20 matches in a row at one point, and right now the ATP wins leader, Jim.
And last year, you have to remember, in 2022, he had to have a minor surgery in March for a sports hernia, and it was a while before he recaptured his confidence. It really wasn't until Rotterdam, where he went on that run from Rotterdam through the Miami Open, where he was almost unbeaten, just Alcaraz taking him out in the Indian Wells final. So Medvedev is back, and he's going to continue to be problems for people, especially on the hard surfaces. Australia, again, looks like it's shaping up to be epic because, assuming everyone stays healthy, Alcaraz will be there, Medvedev will be there with confidence, Zverev will be there with confidence. It is going to be a beastly tournament for Novak to try and win 11 times there.
It's pretty special. And for Jannik Sinner, this is the guy who said, playing at home, it is a privilege to have this kind of pressure. But playing against Novak Djokovic, who knows that that pressure against him kind of raises his game. What do you make of Jannik Sinner tomorrow?
Yeah, I think if Jannik Sinner does deliver and wins a title, this will be probably his best memory. I think he hasn't won a Grand Slam yet, but he definitely will. But I think this one will... it will hit home because, you know, you're doing it in your backyard and you're doing it in front of all your fans, your family, your friends, everyone's there. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, but he's going to embrace that. I think it's going to be an amazing match. But I do want to see him win, but I still think that Novak might edge it.
First player to reach the final in their home country since Andre Agassi back in 2003.
Houston, baby.
That's right. Yes. Let's get to the other semifinal between Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz. First between 1 and 2 since Roger and Rafa back in 07, Jim. This is a rematch of a couple of epic finals, Wimbledon and Cincinnati.
It was a slightly slow start for Novak. He was down 2 break points in the opening service game, and Alcaraz made, I think, 13 out of 13 first serves to start. And Novak not discouraged. He would get to break point here, and this is where he would break the match open next.
Yeah, I just feel like it was so Alcaraz dominated early on, and then Alcaraz started making a few too many unforced errors, and then that 2-minute period where Novak kind of broke him and then held, and then it was just a snowball effect after that. Alcaraz was looking for answers, trying to come forward, trying to redline a little bit. Then he changed his position on return. He was trying to look for answers, talking to his box a lot, and that's just not the Alcaraz we're used to seeing. We used to seeing have fun, things working, court speed kind of started to play again, a bit frustrated, which we haven't seen much of in the last couple of matches. And then Novak just, and this was the point, I think, where Novak just, it was, oh no, this is where Alcaraz broke, I think, broke back or had break point chances.
That's
but
right.
Then Novak would just, you know, steady the ship and then do what he does best.
This is where Alcaraz slightly tweaked his aggression, pulled back on the throttle a little bit, waited for moments to get offensive. That was a big mistake, though. If he went down the line with a forehand, Novak was picking the cross court, and he was there to pick off the winner. And that was the last gasp. But there were some jaw-dropping, gasp-inducing points between these two throughout. It may have been one-way traffic on the scoreboard, but it was a connoisseur's delight for about an hour and a half. Djokovic, unbelievable level of tennis.
First player to reach multiple finals at the year-end championships after turning 35. This man is 36 years old and absolutely destroying a guy 16 years younger than him. It's incredible when you look at these numbers, the first serve percentage. Andy, you pointed it out, 84% first serves in, and he loses the match.
Yeah, it's just absurd. And his winner-to-error ratio is about even. You know, Novak just one-ups him kind of everywhere. And he just consistently asks the question, you know, can you get 5 or 6 shots deep, and can you be perfect? And then, can you do that over 3 or 4 hours? And the answer more often than not is no. Putting a 3-2 beating on someone who is clearly the second best player in the world this year, who has beaten you in a Grand Slam final, who has the shots to deliver at any moment, and just putting on a clinic. I mean, no disrespect to Alcaraz, because he is as special a prospect as we've seen in 20 years, but Novak is just too tough, especially on this surface. This surface does more for Novak's game than it does for Alcaraz's game. But, you know, yesterday, if we were sitting here, you would have said, what does Alcaraz have to do? I would have said he has to serve like 75%, and then I might like a chance. He served 84% and got beat 3-2. What do I know?
Nick, I mean, this is a guy who you see play quite often on the court. I mean, you're in that kind of situation. But now, from a different perspective, being in the booth, calling his match, what have you learned about Novak that maybe you didn't know when you were on court against him?
Oh, I knew everything about Novak, how great he is. But I think you can't, you know, I think Alcaraz, he created 4 break point chances. You take one of those early, the match becomes completely different. So he's got to walk off that court and realize, look, I did create some chances. I didn't just get blown off. I was doing some good things. So he's going to walk off with a positive kind of mindset. But again, Novak playing those big points under pressure, first serves. He went after his second serve a couple of times. So you made him a bit uncomfortable. So props to Alcaraz to even getting to that stage. Because some people go off the match and you don't have break points. And then it's like, okay, I need to go back to the drawing board, where Alcaraz did that today.
Novak's already made history in this tournament by winning his first match. That gives him 8 times year-end number 1. He can make more history tomorrow. He and Roger currently have won this title 6 times. He can go one better, 7 tomorrow. He loves making history, fellas.
9th trip to the finals.
Yeah.
So that is second most. He's got to do 10 to match Roger there, but can certainly win the most. And for Alcaraz, spectacular season. I mean, 6 titles this year, added a Wimbledon trophy. Nothing to feel bad about if you're Carlitos Alcaraz. Novak Djokovic just doing Novak Djokovic things, something he's done for the past 2 decades. When we come back, the final is set in doubles as well, and we've got a chance for more history for that man. Rajiv Ram and Joe Salisbury, don't go anywhere. Back on TC Live, Nick, Jim, Steve, Andy over on the big screen. Take a look at Championship Sunday. 9 a.m. Eastern is the doubles final. 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Be there or be very upset. It is the singles final. Djokovic against Sinner, followed by TC Live. To wrap it all up, Nick's favorite segment of TC Live right now. The forecast outside in Turin. Here's Fox Weather.
Hey there, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Craig Rarin, and here's tomorrow's ATP Finals forecast. Take a look at the weather out in Turin, Italy. How about that? Upper 50s, plenty of sunshine. Enjoy it. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device. Always on, always free.
There'll be a no-lay storm inside, Nick. All right, doubles today. 3 of the 4 teams in the semifinals still in contention to finish number one in the world, Andy. The green group winners, Marcel Grenoyers, Horacio Zaballos, taking on Rohan Bopana and Matthew Ebden for the 4th time this season.
Yeah, that first volley was rather filthy, Steve. I'll tell you that much. Great movement there at the net by Grenoyers. Just always had a very high tennis IQ back when he used to play singles, and now translating it to the doubles court. Closing the set out with some good serving into the body on Bopana. Tries to play that little lead pace, kind of off back in there. Didn't quite get into Ebden. Not happy. Knows there's half a chance. That means curtains with the way Zaballos and Grenoyers are playing, and he was right. Clinical, straightforward match from these two. They've been playing great all week.
Zaballos said, we tried to think every match was a final because every match was against a great team. Their hopes for year-end number one still alive. How about the reigning ATP Finals champs, Rajiv Ram, Joe Salisbury, taking on Santiago Gonzalez and Edward Roger Vassalin.
Yeah, and Ram Salisbury, they're kind of the spoilers in this situation. The other 3 teams in the semis, all a shot to finish year-end number one with the title. Ram and Salisbury, they put pay to the chances for Gonzalez and Roger Vassalin. A tight opening set. They get through it. Love 30. This is when you're feeling a lot of pressure because, again, no ad scoring in doubles. You get down love 40. That's 4 breakpoint chances. That's tough to recover. And any chance they did, it's match tiebreak time. This would go the distance. Great hands there. Stays alive. Oh, that is a heck of a flex, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, Ram and Salisbury last year were just so good, and they've just got the chemistry. They know what their partner wants to do in certain moments, and you look at them at the net, there it is. I mean, they're probably my pick. They're so solid, and they're going to go back-to-back.
Back-to-back, you heard it here first from NK. 9 straight wins for Ram and Salisbury here in Turin. 10 would give them the back-to-back titles. They've now won 3 match tiebreaks at this year's finals. So when it comes to those clutch moments, they come up big. Grenoyers, Zaballos, taking on Ram and Salisbury. It all goes down 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific tomorrow. World number one on the line, a year-end championship on the line, Jim. A lot to get to. Novak Djokovic, he has already wrapped up that year-end number one, but he wants history. He wants a record 7th title at the ATP Finals. Caught up with Prakash after this win.
Now you're in a position which you've been in many times before. First time for Yannick. He brought some new elements to the match earlier this week. Will it be an advantage for you that you've seen what he has in the tool belt already?
Yeah, I mean, look, we played a couple nights ago, 7-6 in the third. He played a great match. I played also good. I mean, in some moments, I maybe should have stepped it up. But, you know, today, I think it was a great showcase to myself, actually, that you know, in important moments, I need to step in, I need to swing through the ball, and hopefully I'll be able to do that tomorrow and bring my A game.
Go get him, champ.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great showcase for himself. Yes, it was. As we enter the social net, we saw Nick at the Lakers game a couple nights ago, but guess who was there as well? Naomi Osaka was there Nick posted a couple days late, not Instagram, but, you know, the later gram for Naomi. Coming back to tour in January. What got me are the kicks, Nick. She's got the off-white Louis Vuitton Nike collab. I hear you've got a pair of these as well.
Yeah, she does upscale me in the fashion department. I just went in a hoodie and some Jordans. No, but she's very fashionable, and, you know, she's done that, you know, outside of the tennis world. She's affected so many other brands. So I did see her at the game, actually. But, yeah, the Lakers just let us down.
You guys have the same management team, so you guys are sort of in the same group. How's she doing on the comeback? How's she doing? Is she looking for Brisbane? Is she feeling like she's ready to come back and be a force?
Yeah, she's good. She looks great. From when I last saw her to, obviously, she had a child 4 months ago, so she looks fantastic, and look, she's so special to the tour. She's got a great game, and I think she's got plenty of slams left in her, so I can't wait to see her back out there.
Plenty of slams left in her, Andy. Comes back in Brisbane. How long do you think it takes for her to get back to that major winning form?
Well, we hope she gets back there. I'm just impressed by what Nick said, the timeline with which she has seemingly gotten back into shape, is focused. She's talked about that she's still hungry and still wants it. Listen, the best case scenario for her is to get off the schneid in that first or second round of Brisbane. She gets a couple matches under her belt in Brisbane, then nobody wants to see her as a floater in that draw. I promise you that.
I think a reasonable timeline, honestly, would be for her to target the U.S. Open as her chance to really shine in a big way. I think take the baby steps while you're learning how to travel with a baby. That's a lot for her to absorb on the road. Get back into match fitness. Hopefully she can have that good, clean run of health. But by the time she gets to New York, she might be ready to pull a Kim Clijsters and lift the trophy and then put her baby in it afterwards.
Why not? I don't know. Have we seen a baby in a trophy?
I think.
Can't do that? Did you put the...
Maybe not. I think that might have been one of the Bryan brothers.
Okay. Would love to see it.
It was just a good line. It's a throwaway.
That'd be a great photo. Yeah. Meantime, Andy's former coach, Jimmy Connors, posting this classic photo. We have shown it before here on Tennis Channel. But, Nick, can you name these four guys left to right?
I mean, I know Johnny Mack.
Yeah.
Is Bjorn Borg on the far right?
Yep. That's right.
Don't know the tall one in the middle. I don't know.
He was Andy Murray's coach very recently.
Yeah.
That's Lendl.
I'm not a big fan of coaches.
Okay. good response.
He was a pretty good player, as it turns out.
Yes, I do know him, obviously. And then I'm guessing that's what Jimmy Connors.
That's Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah, they look handsome bunch there. Handsome bunch. I wish I could grow hair like that.
That was the 1977 ATP final. They played it, actually, January 1978. That's back, Jim, when it was at MSG, first year, the 13-year run at MSG.
That was when I was falling in love with the sport. These guys were amazing for tennis, and it's been great to have them involved in different ways. Bjorn back as the Laver Cup captain for Europe. Jimmy working with Andy. It was great to see him there. Yvonne with another Andy Murray, and Johnny Mack is everywhere, as always. So these guys love tennis. They've given a lot to the sport. And I wouldn't be sitting here probably without them, because they helped me fall in love with it early on.
If this was an album cover, Andy, what would be the name of the album?
Dudes Who Love Flannel and Sweater Vests. I don't know. But listen, it's no surprise that Lendl's playing the buffer between Johnny Mack and Connors right there, right? The look on Jimmy's face was when they told him he might have to stand next to McEnroe for the next picture.
You can see the arms crossed. He's already got that posture going, like, I don't want to be anywhere near these guys.
I don't
want to
be nowhere near this. I want nothing to do with this. This is contractual. I guarantee it.
Jimmy's got a great podcast with our friend Brett Connors, who works here at Tennis Channel. It's called Advantage Connors, and they will be discussing that photo on the latest edition of the podcast.
Got to check it out again.
You got to be on Advantage Connors. You got to get on that podcast.
I'll get on it. Yeah. Promise.
Jimmy, Brett, it's good stuff. They would have a great conversation.
Without a doubt.
All right, much more still to come here on TC Live. We will be breaking down the big final tomorrow morning. Jannik Sinner, undefeated. Can he get another win against that guy, Novak Djokovic? The picks from the experts, straight ahead.
I needed a glass of wine for sure tonight.
Special delivery.
I might get him something small tomorrow, when maybe a shoelace or something.
Are you good at tennis? Exactly, so why are you speaking? If I tell him how to act, no.
Are you not entertained?
Well, we are very entertained, and we know everybody at home has been entertained this week as well. Nick Kyrgios, the commentator with us here on Tennis Channel, and we got to flash back to some of those moments. The one with Ben Stiller at Indian Wells. Take us back to that little beef in the stands.
Well, I saw Ben Stiller watching, and he was, you know, very respectful. You know, me and Nadal were locked in a battle, quarterfinals, Indian Wells, three-set battle, and the guy next to him kept, you know, serve here, hit here, hit here, and I couldn't take it anymore. It was building up in my head, and I turned to him, and I was like, do you play tennis? And he's like, no. I was like, so shut up then. And then I said, Ben Stiller, do I tell him how to act? No, I watch his movies. He's hilarious. He's a great actor. So just sit back and watch the match. And it turned viral. Everyone thought that I was talking to Ben Stiller at the time, but I wasn't. I was talking to some guy next to him, and then there you go.
Stiller is one of the biggest Nadal fans I think anyone's ever seen, too. So it could have gotten a little bit hairy there.
Yeah, definitely. And I almost wanted it to. I needed something to get me going because Nadal just... I was sick of him beating me. He beat me the last couple of times, but no, it was good. And then me and Ben actually had some run-in on Twitter, and, okay. And now we're good mates, so it's good.
Like you've hung out with Ben outside now?
No, but we just go back and forth on Twitter. I told him I'd give him free tennis lessons, and he said he'd give me free acting lessons. I was like, I think I'm better at acting than you are at tennis.
That's a good deal. Andy, did you ever have any run-ins with celebrities during a match?
I'm sure I did at some point. I tended to have some run-ins. I actually... asked Stiller for an autograph one time during an EXO with Roger at Madison Square Garden. So it, maybe not at quite as contentious. There was nothing at stake. I wasn't trying to shift the energy in the building. It was more just for some laughs. But you know, listen, I wasn't one to kind of shy away from a confrontation, not necessarily with Zoolander, but you know, with others.
Is there any celebrity, Nick, that you would really geek out about if you saw him in the stands and wanted to see?
Well, Will Smith watched me play Joe Wilfried Tsonga 1 year at the Australian Open and Rod Laver, and I was like, first couple games I was super nervous, and then I saw him courtside, and then I was like, I had to like break the ice a little bit. I was like, I think everyone is in the arena to see you here. And then like he smiled, and I was like, oh, I think he thinks I'm cool now. And then I had an interview after the match, and it was cool. He was like, he gave me a thumbs up, and then
Who was the guy interviewing? I can't.
Oh, that was you.
That was me. That's right.
That's right. I forgot.
And I had the question for you because I knew that you said he was your favorite actor, so I teed you up. I'm like, so if someone's going to play Nick Kyrgios in the Life story and he could pick any actor, who would it be? And you just went with Will, and that's when he gave you the big thumbs up.
I think you were telling me that Margot Robbie was your favorite actor at the time.
No, you're the one who's like, Margot Robbie, I love Margot, and they're in the movie together.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah,
I think Tsitsipas and Margot Robbie, maybe they like each other too, or he likes her anyway. Who knows?
I don't know. Tsitsidos is a thing now, so.
Yeah, just so we're clear, no one asked, but I also like Margot Robbie, just so we're clear. Just like no one asked, but I just feel the need to interject.
He's a Barbie guy.
Did you see Barbie, Andy?
I have a six-year-old daughter. Of course I saw Barbie. It was for her, though. It wasn't so I could watch Margot Robbie. It was definitely just for my daughter. I'm a good dad.
And what'd you think?
I thought the movie was great. I think Margot is just brilliant. She's just what an actress.
A lot of Margot Robbie fans. All right. Nick, as always, we have a question for you from somebody in the Tennis Channel staff. This is Adam Friedman from Programming. Says, what's your opinion of pickleball? Have you played yet?
I love pickleball. I think it's one of the most growing sports in the States at the moment. My mum and dad love it. And, you know, they're, you know, getting to that 60, 70-year age. They can't really play tennis. Their knees give away a little bit. But they're playing pickleball every Wednesday night. So I love how accessible it is for younger kids and then, you know, the elderly as well. It's awesome. I see all the communities playing it. And it's growing in Australia too. So it's cool. I'm going to have to get out there. And I feel like I have pretty good hands. You know, I've seen Jack Sock make the transition. And he's insane at it. So I might have to follow in my good mate's footsteps.
So I'll be going to Tampa next week for Thanksgiving to see my family. That's where they all live. And if you ever are in North Tampa, Nick, and you want some competition,
all right,
you can take on my mom and James Blake's mom because they are a nasty duo at pickleball. They are taking down everybody in North Tampa. So I'm going to stay off of that court. I'm going to stay on the tennis court with our little kids. But pickleball fever is real. It's out there. And Andy Roddick is a pickleball master. He's been involved in the pickleball slam. Haven't you, Andy?
Far from a master, but I'll tell you, the only person who likes pickleball more than people over 65 is orthopedic surgeons. They are thankful for the business from the weekend warriors coming in with knee injuries. Listen, I'm happy with pickleball, people playing it, and as long as it's tough to watch on TV, tennis has no threat. We're all good.
You won $1 million, Andy, right?
Not quite. I had to split it with a guy named Agassi.
Okay. 500 grand.
What's your pickleball game like?
You know, it's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah. It's fun socially. You know, okay. Get a couple beverages in you and go out there with some friends.
Hydrate with some Gatorades. Yeah, it's good.
Yes. That's right.
Stay hydrated.
Vodka Gatorade. It's good
stuff. Stay hydrated.
Co-owner of the Miami Pickleball Club, right?
Yes, I am. Naomi as well. Patrick Mahomes. So it's good. I mean, I love seeing the growth. I just love seeing people get active. You know, that's the main thing. So it's cool.
Get off the couch. Play a little pickle. But don't forget about tennis.
Well, you can get them both here at Tennis
Get
Show.
Them both.
Well, yeah. We have Pickleball TV now.
That's correct.
I think it's on YouTube. You can get it everywhere. It's a free streaming channel. We'll break down some more tennis when we come back. Welcome back. Take a look at this and snap that QR code on your screen. It is time for our TennisPoint.com gear spotlight. We're focusing on the ATP Tour's official tennis merchandise collection. This collection featuring classic apparel and essential equipment for fans and players of all levels. We've got the unisex apparel with polo shirts, hats, and hoodies. Plus, how about that 12-pack bag? Nick, besides rackets, what else do you put in your bag? What's your bag check?
Yeah, last year I played with a hat backwards, so that hat would go amazing. Everything. Love a little hoodie there as well. I mean, I'm going to scan the QR code right now.
Go for it. All right, shop now with this QR code or at tennispoint.com for the ATP Tour's official tennis merchandise collection. Hot shot time, Andy Roddick. And, of course, comes from Alcaraz and Djokovic. Who's going to get it, though?
Yeah, hot point. I know exactly what this one is. This is the death maker here. Novak Djokovic, just you're trying to fight back. You're doing anything you can to get back in the match, and you're just literally up against a brick wall. Weissman, did you ever play Mortal Kombat when you were a kid, that arcade game? You ever play that?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember when it would go, finish him?
Yes.
That's pretty much what we're about to see right here. Like when you rip the guy's head off at the end and it just becomes like a skeleton. That's what that was. It was just an absolute joke from Novak. I mean, I don't know. It's so depressing when you're on the other side and you execute the point to perfection for 9 shots and you get nothing out of it. It's just physically, mentally, all. It's got to be pretty depressing.
Beat that analogy, Nick.
I mean, look, this was the point. I was watching it live, and I thought the point was over about 3 times, and then I realized to myself I had 0% chance of winning Wimbledon when I played him in the final. But my favorite part about this point is when at the end, when Alcaraz drops his racket and he's just like, I'm finished, I'm done, I'm not playing anymore, I'm gonna join Kings on Tennis Channel, I'm not gonna play anymore. And you know, this is basically match point. I think, you know, Alcaraz had nothing else in the tank after this, but this is the point. He just lets go of his racket, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm done.
It's funny when it's not you know?
Yeah, and you hope somewhere Yannick Sinner was getting a massage and not watching live tennis at this point on a screen somewhere, because you don't want to see that coming into tomorrow's match.
First he takes your legs, Andy. Then he takes your soul.
He takes your soul.
Championship Sunday starts at 9 a.m. Eastern with the doubles final. Ram Salisbury going to try to go back-to-back against Grenoyer Zabios. And then Novak Djokovic, 9th time in the final of the year-end championships, taking on a first-timer in Yannick Sinner. For more on this, we head back to Torino. Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve. Look, Pete, beating Novak Djokovic is one thing. Yannick Sinner able to accomplish that at this tournament, but to beat him twice in one tournament is a very tall task. How will he be able to do it?
I think it's going to be much tougher than even that first round, because now Sinner knows how to get through it, but Novak has the ability to know what Sinner did to be able to get through it. I think we're going to see Novak come with a few different things, be a little bit better on the crucial points he didn't execute as well in those crucial moments against Sinner, and I don't think the Italian crowd's going to be super thrilled with the result.
Oh, calling a different winner here, huh? It's going to be so much fun. The final here in Torino. Looking forward to it.
Cannot wait. It is our FanDuel match preview. Time to get the picks. Obviously, Sinner got his first win against Novak Djokovic a couple days ago. 7-6 in a match tiebreak. So Djokovic is going to want to get that scalp back. Nick, who are you taking and why?
I think I'm going to go with Novak. You know, I was really eager to see his performance today against Alcaraz, to see if he, you know, how he was feeling. But after today's performance, I'm gonna safely say Novak. I think he's gonna steady the ship. He's gonna understand what he didn't do right the first time. So I'm gonna go with Novak.
I'm gonna go with Novak as well. But I'm still gonna be fascinated to see what adjustments these guys might make. I mean, Sinner struggled with the second serve returns, but he hit a couple of key ones from up close range that changed the course of the match. Does he stay forward, keep pressing the attack? Does he adopt a different return position and try something different? I think this is where the coaches really earn their money when you get a chance to have a rematch this soon on the same conditions. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, Steve, you can just cut and paste my answer from yesterday where I said for the last decade I haven't bet against Novak. And until further notice, I'm not going to. Listen, someone might sneak a win in here and there. Sinner obviously beat him 3 days ago. And this is no disrespect to the way Sinner's been playing this week. I couldn't be more impressed with his game. But something we don't talk about enough, I think Novak's serve is better than it's ever been, right? Early in his career is a bit of a liability, especially the second serve. You'd kind of throw a grenade on the second serve and it would kind of sit up a little bit. You could actually get to it. Now he runs it in and out of the corners, kind of hits a little slice, mixes in the bunny kick. It's as good as it's ever been for Novak, and it's one of the best in the game now.
You amped to call this match tomorrow?
Oh, what's your pick before we get there?
I'm going Djokovic.
So it's a clean sweep.
Yeah.
TC clean sweep from Prakash all the way around.
Yeah, it's tough to bet against the GOAT.
I agree with that.
It's going to add more fuel to the fire for Sinner, though.
That's right. He's watching the clips.
He's going to repost it. You guys play the wins of it. Curious.
All right. It is 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific tomorrow. That is the singles final. Yannick Sinner, will he be the first Italian man to raise the trophy and do it in his home country? Or can Novak Djokovic get a record 7th title at the year-end finals? For Nick, Jim, Andy, our entire crew, I'm Steve Weissman. Thanks for watching TC Live.